Part 2. Section 3. Schematic Presentation of Accumulation. We shall now study reproduction according to the following scheme. Scheme A. Department 1. 4000C plus 1000V plus 1000S equals 6000. Department 2. 1500C plus 376V plus 376S equals 2,252. Total equals 8,252. Where C equals constant capital, V equals variable capital, and S equals surplus value. We note in the first place that the sum total of the annual social product, or 8,252, is smaller than that of the first scheme, where it was 9,000. We might just as well assume a much larger sum, for instance one 10 times larger. We have chosen a smaller sum than in our Scheme 1 in order to make it conspicuously clear that reproduction on an enlarged scale, which is here regarded merely as production carried on with a larger investment of capital, has nothing to do with the absolute volume of the product, that for a given quantity of commodities it implies merely a different arrangement or a different definition of the functions of the various elements of a given product, so that it is but a simple reproduction so far as the value of the product is concerned. It is not the quantity, but the qualitative determination of the given elements of simple reproduction which is changed, and this change is the material premise of a subsequent reproduction on an extended scale. Footnote. This puts an end, once and for all, to the feud over the accumulation of capital between James Mill and S. Bailey, which we have discussed from another point of view in Volume 1, Chapter 24, namely, the feud concerning the possibility of extending the operation of industrial capital without changing its magnitude. We shall revert to this later. End of footnote. We might vary the scheme by changing the ratio between the variable and constant capital, for instance, as follows. Scheme B. Department 1, 4000C, plus 875V, plus 875S, equals 5,750. Department 2, 1,750C, plus 376V, plus 376S, equals 2,502. Total equals 8,252. This scheme seems arranged for reproduction on a simple scale, the surplus value being entirely consumed as revenue, and not accumulated. In either case, both schemes A and B, we have an annual product of the same magnitude of value. Only under Scheme B, functionally, its elements are grouped in such a way that reproduction is resumed on the same scale, while under Scheme A, the functional grouping forms the material basis of reproduction on an extended scale. Under Scheme B, 875V plus 875S of Department 1, or 1,750 of Department 1 V plus S, are exchanged without any surplus for 1,750 of Department 2 C, while under Scheme A, the exchange of 1,000 V plus 1,000 S of Department 1 equal to 2,000 of Department 1 V plus S for 1,000 of Department 2 C leaves a surplus of 500 for Department 1S, for accumulation in Department 1. Now let us analyze Scheme A more closely. Let us suppose that both Departments 1 and 2 accumulate one half of their surplus value, that is to say, convert it into an element of additional capital, instead of spending it as revenue. As one half of 1,000 of Department 1S, or 500, are to be accumulated in one form or another, invested as additional money capital, that is, converted into additional productive capital, only 1000V plus 500S of Department 1 are spent as revenue. Hence, only 1500 figures here as the normal size of Department 2C. We need not further examine the exchange between 1500 of Department 1V plus S and 1500 2C, because this has already been done under the head of Process of Simple Reproduction. Nor does 4000 of Department 1C require any attention, since its rearrangement for the newly commencing reproduction, which this time will occur on an extended scale, was likewise discussed as a process of simple reproduction. The only thing that remains to be examined by us is 500 of Department 1S and 376V plus 376S of Department 2, inasmuch as it is a matter on the one hand of the internal relations of both Departments 1 and 2, and on the other of the movement between them. Since we have assumed that in Department 2, likewise, one half of the surplus value is to be accumulated, 188 are to be converted here into capital, of which one-fifth, or 47, or to round it off, 48, are to be variable capital, so that 140 remain to be converted into constant capital. Here we come across a new problem, whose very existence must appear strange to the current view that commodities of one kind are exchanged for commodities of another kind, or commodities for money and the same money again for commodities of another kind. The 140 of Department 2S can be converted into productive capital only by replacing them with commodities of Department 1S of the same value. It is a matter of course that that portion of 1S, which must be exchanged for 2S, must consist of means of production, which may enter either into the production of both departments, 1 and 2, or exclusively into that of Department 2. This replacement can be made feasible only by means of a one-sided purchase on the part of Department 2, as the entire surplus product of 501S, which we still have to examine, is to serve the purposes of accumulation within Department 1, hence cannot be exchanged for commodities 2. In other words, it cannot be simultaneously accumulated and consumed by Department 1. Therefore, Department 2 must buy 140 of Department 1S for cash, without recovering this money by a subsequent sale of its commodities to Department 1. And this is a process which is continually repeating itself in every new annual production, so far as it is reproduction on an extended scale. Where, in Department 2, is the source of the money for this? It would rather seem that Department 2 is a very unprofitable field for the formation of new money capital, which accompanies actual accumulation and necessitates it under capitalist production, and which at first actually presents itself as simple hoarding. We have first 376 of Department 2V. The money capital of 376, advanced in labour power, continually returns through the purchase of commodities 2 as variable capital in money form to capitalist 2. This constant repetition of departure from and return to the starting point, the pocket of the capitalist, does not add in any way to the money roving over this circuit. This, then, is not a source of the accumulation of money. Nor can this money be withdrawn from circulation in order to form hoarded, virtually new money capital. But stop! Isn't there a chance here to make a little profit? We must not forget that Department 2 has this advantage over Department 1, that its labourers have to buy back from it the commodities produced by themselves. Department 2 is a buyer of labour power, and at the same time a seller of the commodities to the owners of the labour power employed by it. Department 2 can therefore... 1. And this it shares with the capitalists of Department 1. Simply depress wages below their normal average level. By this means, a portion of the money, functioning as the money form of variable capital, is released, and if this process is continually repeated, it might become a normal source of hoarding, and thus of virtually additional money capital in Department 2. Of course, we are not referring to a casual swindle profit here, since we are treating of a normal formation of capital. But it must not be forgotten that the normal wages actually paid, which, ceteris paribus, other things being equal, determine the magnitude of the variable capital, are not paid by the capitalists out of the goodness of their hearts, but must be paid under given relations. This eliminates the previous method of explanation. If we assume that 376V is the variable capital to be laid out by Department 2, we have no right suddenly to sneak in the hypothesis that it may pay only 350V instead of 376V, merely to elucidate a problem that has newly arisen. 2. On the other hand, Department 2, taken as a whole, has the aforementioned advantage over Department 1, that it is at the same time a buyer of labour power and a seller of its commodities to its own labourers. Every industrial country, for instance Britain and the USA, furnishes the most tangible proofs of the way in which this advantage may be exploited, by paying nominally the normal wages, but grabbing back, alias stealing, part of them without an equivalent in commodities, by accomplishing the same thing either through the truck system or through a falsification of the medium of circulation, perhaps in a way too elusive for the law. Take this opportunity to expatiate on this idea with some appropriate examples. This is the same operation as under one, only disguised and carried out by a detour. Therefore it must likewise be rejected the same as the other. We are dealing here with actually paid, not nominally paid, wages. We see that in an objective analysis of the mechanism of capitalism, certain stains still sticking to it with extraordinary tenacity cannot be used as a subterfuge to get over some theoretical difficulties. But strange to say, the great majority of my bourgeois critics upbraid me as though I have wronged the capitalists by assuming, for instance, in Volume 1 of Capital, that the capitalist pays labour power at its real value, a thing which he mostly does not do. Here, exercising some of the magnanimity attributed to me, it would be appropriate to quote Scheffler. So, with the 376 of Department 2V, we cannot get any nearer the goal we have mentioned. But the 376-2V seem to be in a still more precarious position. Here only capitalists of the same department, mutually buying and selling the articles of consumption they produced, confront one another. The money required for these transactions functions only as a medium of circulation, and in the normal course of things must flow back to the interested parties in the same portion in which they advanced it to the circulation, in order to cover the same route over and over again. There seem to be only two ways by which this money can be withdrawn from circulation to form virtually additional money capital. Either one part of the capitalists, too, cheats the other, and thus robs them of their money. We know that no preliminary expansion of the circulating medium is necessary for the formation of new money capital. All that is necessary is that the money should be withdrawn from circulation by certain parties and hoarded. It would not alter the case if this money were stolen, so that the formation of additional money capital by one part of capitalists too would entail a positive loss of money by another part. The cheated capitalists too would have to live a little less gaily, but that would be all. Or a part of Department 2, represented by necessities of life, is directly converted into new variable capital within Department 2. How that is done, we shall examine at the close of this chapter, under Section 4. First illustration. A. Scheme of simple reproduction. Department 1, 4,000 C plus 1,000 V plus 1,000 S equals 6,000. Department 2, 2,000 C plus 500 V plus 500 S equals 3,000. Total equals 6,000 plus 3,000 equals 9,000. B. Initial scheme for reproduction on an extended scale. Department 1, 4,000 C plus 1,000 V plus 1,000 S equals 6,000. Department 2, 1,500 C plus 750 V plus 750 S equals 3,000. Total equals 9,000. Assuming that in scheme B, one half of surplus value 1, that is 500, is accumulated, we first receive 1,000 V plus 500 S of Department 1, or 1,500 of Department 1 V plus S, to be replaced by 1,500 of Department 2C. There then remains in Department 1, 4,000 C and 500 S, the latter having to be accumulated. The replacement of 1,000 V plus 500 S of Department 1 by 1,500 of Department 2C is a process of simple reproduction, which has been examined previously. Let us now assume that 400 of the 500 of Department 1S are to be converted into constant capital, and 100 into variable capital. The exchange within Department 1 of the 400S, which are thus to be capitalized, has already been discussed. They can therefore be annexed to Department 1C without more ado. And in that case, we get for Department 1, 4,400C plus 1,000V plus 100S, the latter to be converted into 100V. Department 2, in turn, buys from Department 1 for the purpose of accumulation the 100 of Department 1S, existing in means of production, which now form additional constant capital 2, while the 100 in money, which it pays for them, are converted into the money form of the additional variable capital of Department 1. We then have, for Department 1, a capital of 4,400C plus 1,100V, the latter in money, equaling 5,500. Department 2 has now 1,600C for its constant capital. In order to put them to work, it must advance a further 50V in money for the purchase of new labour power, so that its variable capital grows from 750 to 800. This expansion of the constant and variable capital of Department 2 by a total of 150 is supplied out of its surplus value. Hence only 600S of the 750 of Department 2S remain as a consumption fund for capitalists too, whose annual product is now distributed as follows. Department 2, 1600C plus 800V plus 600S. Consumption fund equal to 3000. The 150S produced in articles of consumption, which have been converted here into 100C plus 50V of Department 2, go entirely in their bodily form for the consumption of the labourers, 100 being consumed by the labourers of Department 1, equals 100 1V, and 50 by the labourers of Department 2, equals 50 2V, as explained. As a matter of fact, in Department 2, where its total product is prepared in a form suitable for accumulation, a part greater by 100 of the surplus value in the form of necessary articles of consumption must be reproduced. If reproduction really starts on an extended scale, then the 100 of variable money capital 1 flow back through the hands of its working class to Department 2, while Department 2 transfers 100S in commodity supply to Department 1, and at the same time 50 in commodity supply to its own working class. The arrangement changed for the purpose of accumulation is now as follows. Department 1, 4,400C plus 1,100S plus 500 Consumption Fund equals 6,000. Department 2, 1,600C plus 800V plus 600 Consumption Fund equals 3,000. Total equals 9,000. As before. Of these amounts, the following are capital. Department 1, 4,400C plus 1,100V in money, equals 5,500. Department 2, 1,600C plus 800V in money, equals 2,400. Total, 7,900. While production started out with Department 1, 4,000C plus 1,000V equals 5,000, Department 2, 1,500C plus 750V equals 2,250, total equals 7,250. Now, if actual accumulation takes place on this basis, that is to say, if production really goes on with this augmented capital, we obtain, at the end of the following year, Department 1, 4,400C plus 1,100V plus 1,100S equals 6,600. Department 2, 1,600C plus 800V plus 800S equals 3,200. Total equals 9,800. Then let accumulation in Department 1 continue in the same proportion, so that 550F are spent as revenue and 550S accumulated. In that case, 1,100 of Department 1V are first replaced by 1,100 of Department 2C, and 550 of Department 1S must be realized in an equal amount of commodities of Department 2, making a total of 1,650 of Department 1 V plus S. But the constant capital 2, which is to be replaced, is equal to only 1,600. Hence the remaining 50 must be supplemented out of 800 of Department 2 S. Leaving aside the money aspect for the present, we have, as the result of this transaction, Department 1, 4,400C plus 550S to be capitalized. Furthermore, realized in commodities 2C, the consumption fund of the capitalists and labourers, 1,650V plus S. Department 2, 1,650 C, 50 added from Department 2S as indicated, plus 800 V plus 750 S, consumption fund of the capitalists. But if the old ratio of V to S is maintained in Department 2, then an additional 25 V must be laid out for 50 C, and these are to be taken from the 750 S. Then we have Department 2, 1,650 C plus 825 V plus 725 S. In Department 1, 550 S must be capitalized. If the former ratio is maintained, 440 of this amount form constant capital and 110 variable capital. These 110 might be taken out of the 725 of Department 2S, that is, articles of consumption to the value of 110 are consumed by labourers 1 instead of capitalists 2, so that the latter are compelled to capitalize these 110 S, which they cannot consume. This leaves 615 of Department 2S of the 725 of Department 2S. But if Department 2 thus converts these 110 into additional constant capital, it requires an additional variable capital of 55. This again must be supplied by its surplus value. Subtracting this amount from 615 of Department 2S leaves 560 for the consumption of capitalists 2. And we now obtain the following capital value after accomplishing all actual and potential transfers. Department 1, 4,400 C plus 440 C plus 1,100 V plus 110 V equals 4,840 C plus 1,210 V equals 6,050. Department 2, 1,600 C plus 50 C plus 110 C plus 800 V plus 25 V plus 55 V equals 1,760 C plus 880 V equals 2,640. Total, 8,690. If things are to proceed normally, accumulation in Department 2 must take place more rapidly than in Department 1, because otherwise the portion of Department 1 V plus S, which must be converted into Commodities 2, will grow more rapidly than Department 2C, for which alone it can be exchanged. If reproduction is continued on this basis, and conditions otherwise remain unchanged, we obtain, at the end of the succeeding year, Department 1, 4,840 C plus 1,210 V plus 1,210 S equals 7,260. Department 2, 1,760 C plus 880 V plus 880 S equals 3,520. Total equals 10,780. If the rate of division of the surplus value remains unchanged, there is first to be expended as revenue by Department 1, 1,210 V, and one half of S, or 605, a total of 1,815. This consumption fund is again larger than Department 2C by 55. These 55 must be deducted from 880 S, leaving 825. Furthermore, the conversion of 55 of Department 2S into Department 2C implies another deduction from Department 2S for a corresponding variable capital of 27.5, leaving for consumption 797.5 of Department 2S. Department 1 has now to capitalize 605 S. Of these, 484 are constant and 121 variable. The last named are to be deducted from Department 2S, which is still equal to 797.5, leaving 676.5 of Department 2F. Department 2, then, converts another 121 into constant capital, and requires another variable capital of 60.5 for it, which likewise comes out of 676.5, leaving 616 for consumption. Then we have the following capitals. Department 1, constant, 4,840 plus 484 equals 5,324. Variable, 1,210 plus 121 equals 1,331. Department 2, constant, 1,760 plus 55 plus 121 equals 1,936. Variable, 880 plus 27.5 plus 60.5 equals 968. Totals, Department 1, 5,324C plus 1,331V equals 6,655. Department 2, 1,936C plus 968V equals 2,904. Grand total equals 9,559. And at the end of the year, the product is Department 1, 5,324C plus 1,331V plus 1,331S equals 7,986. Department 2, 1,936C plus 968V plus 968S equals 3,872. Total equals 11,858. Repeating the same calculation and rounding off the fractions, we get at the end of the succeeding year the following product. Department 1, 5,856C plus 1,464V plus 1,464S equals 8,784. Department 2, 2,129C plus 1,065V plus 1,065S equals 4,259. Total equals 13,043. And at the end of the next succeeding year, Department 1, 6,442C plus 1,610V plus 1,610S equals 9,662. Department 2, 2,342C plus 1,172V plus 1,172S equals 4,686. Total equals 14,348. In the course of 5 years of reproduction on an extended scale, the aggregate capital of Departments 1 and 2 has risen from 5,500C plus 1,750V equals 7,250 to 8,784C plus 2,782V equals 11,566. In other words, in the ratio of 100 to 160. The total surplus value was originally 1,750. It is now 2,782. The consumed surplus value was originally 500 for Department 1 and 600 for Department 2, a total of 1,100. The previous year, it was 732 for Department 1 and 745 for Department 2, a total of 1,477. It has therefore grown in the ratio of 100 to 134. Second illustration. Now, take the annual product of 9,000, which is altogether a commodity capital in the hands of the class of industrial capitalists in a form in which the general average ratio of the variable to the constant capital is that of 1 to 5. This presupposes a considerable development of capitalist production, and accordingly of the productivity of social labour, a considerable previous increase in the scale of production, and finally a development of all the circumstances which produce a relative surplus population among the working class. The annual product will then be divided as follows, after rounding off the various fractions. Department 1, 5,000C plus 1,000V plus 1,000S equals 7,000. Department 2, 1,430C plus 285V plus 285S equals 2,000. Total equals 9,000. Now, take it that capitalist Department 1 consumes one half of its surplus value, or 500, and accumulates the other half. In that case, 1,000V plus 500S of Department 1, or 1,500, would have to be converted into 1,500 of Department 2C. Since Department 2C here amounts to only 1,430, it is necessary to add 70 from the surplus value. Subtracting this sum from 285 of Department 2S leaves 215 of Department 2S. Then we have Department 1, 5,000C plus 500S to be capitalized, plus 1,500V plus S in the consumption fund of the capitalists and labourers. Department 2, 1,430C plus 70S to be capitalized, plus 285V plus 215S. As 70 of Department 2S are directly annexed here to Department 2C, a variable capital of 70 over 5, or 14, is required to set this additional constant capital in motion. These 14 must also come out of the 215 of Department 2S, so that 201 of Department 2S remain. And we have Department 2, 1,430C plus 70C, plus 285V plus 14V, plus 201S. The exchange of 1,500 of Department 1 V plus 1/2S for 1,500 of Department 2C is a process of simple reproduction, and nothing further need be said about it. However, a few peculiarities remain to be noted here, which arise from the fact that in accumulating reproduction, Department 1 V plus 1/2S is not replaced solely by Department 2C, but by Department 2C plus a portion of Department 2S. It goes without saying that as soon as we assume accumulation, Department 1 V plus F is greater than Department 2C, not equal to Department 2C, as in simple reproduction. For in the first place, Department 1 incorporates a portion of its surplus product in its own productive capital, and converts 5/6 of it into constant capital, therefore cannot replace these 5/6 simultaneously by articles of consumption 2. In the second place, Department 1 has to supply out of its surplus product the material for the constant capital required for accumulation within Department 2, just as Department 2 has to supply Department 1 with the material for the variable capital, which is to set in motion the portion of Department 1's surplus product employed by Department 1 itself as additional constant capital. We know that the actual, and therefore also the additional, variable capital consists of labour power. It is not Capitalist 1 who buys from Department 2 a supply of necessities of life or accumulates them for the additional labour power to be employed by him, as the slaveholder had to do. It is the labourers themselves who trade with Department 2. But this does not prevent the articles of consumption of his additional labour power from being viewed by the capitalist as only so many means of production and maintenance of his eventual additional labour power, hence as the bodily form of his variable capital. His own immediate operation, in the present case that of Department 1, consists in merely storing up the new money capital required for the purchase of additional labour power. As soon as he has incorporated this in his capital, the money becomes a means of purchase of commodities too for this labour power, which must find these articles of consumption at hand. By the by, the capitalist, as well as his press, is often dissatisfied with the way in which the labour power spends its money, and with the commodities too in which it realises this money. On such occasions, he philosophises, babbles of culture, and dabbles in philanthropical talk. For instance, after the manner of Mr. Drummond, the secretary of the British Embassy in Washington. According to him, The Nation, a journal, carried last October 1879 an interesting article which contained, among other things, the following passages. Quote, "The working people have not kept up in culture with the growth of invention, and they have had things showered on them which they do not know how to use, and thus make no market for." Every capitalist naturally wants the labourer to buy his commodities. "There is no reason why the working man should not desire as many comforts as the minister, lawyer, and doctor, who is earning the same amount as himself." This class of lawyers, ministers, and doctors have indeed to be satisfied with the mere desire of many comforts. He does not do so, however. The problem remains how to raise him as a consumer by rational and healthful processes. Not an easy one, as his ambition does not go beyond a diminution of his hours of labour, the demagogues rather inciting him to this than to raising his condition by the improvement of his mental and moral powers. Unquote. Reports of Her Majesty's Secretaries of Embassy and Legation on the Manufactures, Commerce, etc. of the countries in which they reside. London, 1879. Long hours of labour seem to be the secret of the rational and healthful processes, which are to raise the condition of the labourer by an improvement of his mental and moral powers, and to make a rational consumer of him. In order to become a rational consumer of the commodities of the capitalist, he should above all begin to let his own capitalist consume his labour power irrationally and unhealthfully. But the demagogue prevents him. What the capitalist means by a rational consumption is evident wherever he is condescending enough to engage directly in the trade with his own labourers in the truck system, which includes also the supplying of homes to the labourers, so that the capitalist is at the same time a landlord for them, a branch of business among many others. The same Drummond, whose beautiful soul is enamoured of the capitalist attempts to uplift the working class, tells in the same report, among other things, of the cotton goods manufacture of the Lowell and Lawrence mills. The boarding and lodging houses for the factory girls belong to the corporation or company owning the mills. The stewardesses of these houses are in the employ of the same company, which prescribes them rules of conduct. No girl is permitted to stay out after 10 p.m. Then comes a gem. A special police patrol the grounds for the purpose of guarding against an infringement of those rules. After 10 p.m., no girl can leave or enter. No girl may live anywhere but on the premises of the company, and every house on it brings the company about $10 per week in rent. And now we see the rational consumer in his full glory. Quote, "As the ever-present piano is, however, to be found in many of the best-appointed working-girls' boarding-houses, music, song, and dance come in for a considerable share of the operative's attention, at least among those who, after 10 hours' steady work at the looms, need more relief from monotony than actual rest." Unquote. But the main secret of making a rational consumer out of the labourer is yet to be told. Mr. Drummond visits the cutlery works of Turner's Falls, Connecticut River, and Mr. Oakman, the treasurer of the concern, after telling him that especially American table cutlery beat the English in quality, continues, quote, "The time is coming that we will beat England as to prices also. We are ahead in quality now, that is acknowledged, but we must have lower prices, and shall have it the moment we get our steel at lower prices, and have our labour down." Unquote. A reduction of wages and long hours of labour. That is the essence of the rational and healthful processes which are to uplift the labourer to the dignity of a rational consumer, so that, quote, "they make a market for things showered upon them," unquote, by culture and growth of invention. Consequently, just as Department 1 has to supply the additional constant capital of Department 2 out of its surplus product, so Department 2 likewise supplies the additional variable capital for Department 1. Department 2 accumulates for Department 1 and for itself, so far as the variable capital is concerned, by reproducing a greater portion of its total product, and hence especially of its surplus product, in the shape of necessary articles of consumption. In production on the basis of increasing capital, Department 1 V plus S must be equal to Department 2 C plus that portion of the surplus product which is reincorporated as capital, plus the additional portion of constant capital required for the expansion of the production in Department 2. And the minimum of this expansion is that without which real accumulation, that is, a real expansion of production in Department 1 itself, is unfeasible. Reverting now to the case which we examined last, we find in it the peculiarity that Department 2C is smaller than Department 1V plus a half S, than that portion of Product 1 which is spent as revenue for articles of consumption, so that on exchanging the 1,500 of Department 1V plus S, a portion of surplus product 2 equal to 70 is at once realized. As for Department 2C, equal to 1,430, it must, all other conditions remaining the same, be replaced by an equal magnitude of value out of Department 1 of V plus S, in order that simple reproduction may take place in Department 2, and to that extent we need not pay any more attention to it here. It is different with the additional 70 of Department 2S. What for Department 1 is merely a replacement of revenue by articles of consumption, merely commodity exchange meant for consumption, is for Department 2 not a mere reconversion of its constant capital from the form of commodity capital into its bodily form as it is in simple reproduction, but a direct process of accumulation, a transformation of a part of its surplus product from the form of articles of consumption into that of constant capital. If, with £70 in money, money reserved for the conversion of surplus value, Department 1 buys the 70 of Department 2S, and if Department 2 does not buy in exchange 70 of Department 1S, but accumulates the £70 as money capital, then the latter is indeed always an expression of additional product, precisely of the surplus product of Department 2, of which it is an aliquot part, although this is not a product which re-enters production, but in that case this accumulation of money on the part of Department 2 would at the same time express that 70 of Department 1S in means of production are unsaleable. There would be a relative overproduction in Department 1, corresponding to the simultaneous non-expansion of reproduction on the part of Department 2. But apart from this, until the 70 in money which came from Department 1 returned to it, wholly or in part, through the purchase of 70 of Department 1S by Department 2, this 70 in money figures wholly or in part as additional virtual money capital in the hands of Department 2. This is true of every exchange between Departments 1 and 2, until the mutual replacement of their respective commodities has effected the return of the money to its starting point. But in the normal course of things, the money figures here only transiently in this role. In the credit system, however, where all temporarily released additional money is supposed to function at once actively as an additional money capital, such only temporarily released money capital may be enthralled, for instance, to serve in new enterprises of Department 1, while it should have to realize surplus products held there in other enterprises. It must also be noted that the annexation of 70 of Department 1S to constant capital 2C requires at the same time an expansion of variable capital 2V by 14. This implies, about the way it did in Department 1 in the direct incorporation of surplus product 1S in capital 1C, that the reproduction of Department 2 is already in process with a tendency toward further capitalization. In other words, it implies expansion of that portion of the surplus product which consists of necessary means of subsistence. The product of 9,000 in the second illustration must, as we have seen, be distributed in the following manner for the purpose of reproduction if 500 of Department 1S is to be capitalized. In doing so, we merely consider the commodities and neglect the money circulation. Department 1. 5,000C plus 500S to be capitalized plus 1,500 V plus S consumption fund equals 7,000 in commodities. Department 2. 1,500C plus 299V plus 201S equals 2,000 in commodities. Grand total, 9,000 in commodities. Capitalization takes place in the following manner. In Department 1, the 500S, which are being capitalized, divide into 5/6 or 417C plus 1/6 or 83V. The 83V draw an equal amount out of Department 2S, which buys elements of constant capital and adds them to Department 2C. An increase of 2C by 83 implies an increase of 2V by 1/5 of 83, or 17. We have then, after this exchange, Department 1, open brackets, 5,000C, plus 417S, close brackets C, plus open brackets 1000V, plus 83S, close brackets V, equals 5417C, plus 1083V, equals 6500. Department 2, open brackets 1500C, plus 83S, close brackets C, plus open brackets 299V plus 17S, close brackets V, equals 1,583C plus 316V equals 1,899. Total, 8,399. The capital in Department 1 has grown from 6,000 to 6,500, or by 1/12. That of Department 2 has grown from 1,715 to 1,899, or by not quite 1/9. The reproduction on this basis in the second year brings the capital at the end of that year to Department 1, open brackets, 5,417C plus 452S, close brackets, C, plus open brackets 1,083V plus 90S, close brackets, V, equals 5,869C plus 1,173V equals 7,042. Department 2, open brackets 1,583C plus 42S plus 90S, close brackets C, plus open brackets 316V plus 8S plus 18S, close brackets V, equals 1,715C plus 342V equals 2,057. And at the end of the third year, we have a product of Department 1, 5,869C plus 1,173V plus 1,173S. Department 2, 1,715C plus 342V plus 342S. If Department 1 accumulates one half of its surplus value as before, we find that Department 1 V plus 1/2 S yields 1,173 V plus 587 of 1/2 S, equal to 1,760, more than the entire 1,715 of Department 2C, an excess of 45. This must again be balanced by transferring an equal amount of means of production to Department 2C, which thus grows by 45, necessitating an addition of 1/5, or 9, to Department 2V. Furthermore, the capitalized 587 of Department 1S divide into 5/6 and 1/6, that is, 489C and 98V. The 98 imply in Department 2 a new addition of 98 to the constant capital, and this again an increase of variable capital 2V by 1/5, or 20. Then we have Department 1, open brackets 5,869C plus 489S, close brackets C, plus open brackets 1,173V plus 98S, close brackets V, equals 6,358S plus 1,271V, equals 7,629. Department 2, open brackets 1,715C plus 45S plus 98S, close brackets C, plus open brackets 342V plus 9S plus 20S, close brackets V, equals 1,858C plus 371V equals 2,229. Total capital, 9,858. In 3 years of growing reproduction, the total capital of Department 1 has increased from 6,000 to 7,629, and that of Department 2 from 1,715 to 2,229. The aggregate social capital from 7,715 to 9,858. 3. Replacement of the constant capital of Department 2 in accumulation. In the exchange of the variable capital plus the surplus value of Department 1, that is, Department 1 V plus S, for the constant capital of Department 2, that is, Department 2C, we thus meet with various cases. In simple reproduction, both of them must be equal, and replace one another, since otherwise simple reproduction cannot proceed without disturbance, as we have seen. In accumulation, it is above all the rate of accumulation that must be considered. In the preceding cases, we assumed that the rate of accumulation in Department 1 was equal to one-half the surplus value of Department 1, and also that it remained constant from year to year. We changed only the proportion in which this accumulated capital was divided into variable and constant capital. We then had three cases. Case 1, Department 1 V plus one-half S equals Department 2C, which is therefore smaller than 1 V plus S. This must always be so, otherwise Department 1 does not accumulate. Case 2, Department 1 V plus half S is greater than 2C. In this case, the replacement is effected by adding a corresponding portion of Department 2S to Department 2C, so that this sum becomes equal to Department 1 V plus one-half S. Here, the replacement for Department 2 is not a simple reproduction of its constant capital, but accumulation, an augmentation of its constant capital by that portion of its surplus product which it exchanges for means of production of Department 1. This augmentation implies at the same time a corresponding addition to variable capital 2 out of its own surplus product. Case 3. Department 1 V plus one-half S is smaller than Department 2C. In this case, Department 2 does not fully reproduce its constant capital by means of exchange, and must make good the deficit by purchase from Department 1. But this does not entail any further accumulation of variable capital Department 2, since its constant capital is fully reproduced only by this operation. On the other hand, that part of Capitalists 1 who accumulate only additional money capital have already accomplished a portion of this accumulation by this transaction. The premise of simple reproduction, that Department 1 V plus S is equal to Department 2 C, is not only incompatible with capitalist production, although this does not exclude the possibility that in an industrial cycle of 10 to 11 years, some year may show a smaller total production than the preceding year, so that not even simple reproduction takes place compared to the preceding year. Besides that, considering the natural annual increase in population, simple reproduction could take place only to the extent that a correspondingly larger number of unproductive servants would partake of the 1,500, representing the aggregate surplus value. But accumulation of capital, real capitalist production, would be impossible under such circumstances. The fact of capitalist accumulation therefore excludes the possibility of Department 2C being equal to Department 1 V plus S. Nevertheless, it might occur, even with capitalist accumulation, that in consequence of the course taken by the processes of accumulation during a preceding series of periods of production, Department 2C might become not only equal, but even bigger than Department 1 V plus S. This would mean an overproduction in Department 2, and could not be adjusted in any other way than by a great crash, in consequence of which some capital of Department 2 would get transferred to Department 1. Nor does it alter the relation of Department 1 V plus S to Department 2C, if a portion of constant capital 2C reproduces itself, as happens, for instance, in the use of homegrown seeds in agriculture. This portion of Department 2C is no more to be taken into consideration in the exchange between Departments 1 and 2 than is Department 1C. Nor does it change matters if a part of the products of Department 2 is capable of entering into Department 1 as means of production. It is covered by a part of the means of production supplied by Department 1, and this portion must be deducted on both sides at the outset, if we wish to examine in pure and unobscured form the exchange between the two large classes of social production, the producers of means of production and the producers of articles of consumption. Hence, under capitalist production, Department 1 V plus S cannot be equal to Department 2C. In other words, the two cannot balance in mutual exchange. On the other hand, if Department 1 S over X is taken as that portion of Department 1S which is spent by Capitalist 1 as revenue, Department 1 V plus S over X may be equal to larger or smaller than Department 2C. But Department 1 V plus S over X must always be smaller than Department 2C plus S by as much as that portion of Department 2S which must be consumed under all circumstances by Capitalist Class 2. It must be noted that in this exposition of accumulation, the value of the constant capital is not presented accurately so far as that capital is a part of the value of the commodity capital it helped to produce. The fixed portion of the newly accumulated constant capital enters into the commodity capital only gradually and periodically, according to the different natures of these fixed elements. Therefore, whenever raw materials, semi-finished goods, etc., enter in huge quantities into the production of commodities, the commodity capital consists for the most part of replacements of the circulating constant components and of the variable capital. On account of the specific turnover of the circulating component parts, this way of presenting the matter may nevertheless be adopted. It is then assumed that the circulating portion, together with the portion of value of the fixed capital transferred to it, is turned over so often during the year that the aggregate sum of the commodities supplied is equal in value to all the capital entering into the annual production. But wherever only auxiliary materials are used for mechanical industry and no raw material, there the labour element, equal to V or variable capital, must reappear in the commodity capital as its larger constituent. While in the calculation of the rate of profit, the surplus value is figured on the total capital, regardless of whether the fixed components periodically transfer much or little value to the product, the fixed portion of constant capital is to be included in the calculation of the value of any periodically created commodity capital only to the extent that on an average it yields value to the product on account of wear and tear.